Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Father, like we always say, the entrance of your word brings light, life, understanding, even to the simple. Not very complicated. It's there, it's profound, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So tonight, we dedicate this service to the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls, renewing our minds so that we might find the good, the acceptable, and even the perfect will of God for our lives. In Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you very much. You may take your seats. I'm going to first minister the word, and after the word, I'll be ministering to some people as the Spirit is leading us. Now, something very funny happened, and that is very funny. That, you know, I take my pastors and I coach them and I say to them, I'm taking your notes away. You have to minister to the staff without notes. So one pastor sits there, he's got all his notes, they got all turns to do staff devotions. And I walk up to him and I take his notes like this, and he's just about ready to start and kick off. He's got 20 minutes, he's got to deliver his sermon. He sits there, he's got everything nice. I walk in the door, I go up to him and I do that. Take it out of his hand, I do that. And then from there, it was rather funny, actually. You know, I got a sense of humor, I must watch out. And I start laughing, I can't stop. But one after another, they got their topic, and then they've got to talk for 20 minutes, cover 3 points, and they may use a Bible, but no notes. And we did that. The next stage they will reach is where I'll give them 3 minutes on any topic, 3 minutes. And they have to prepare. Within 3 minutes, they've got to deliver a message. And I could give them any topic. I could say, start with talking about the moon. And I can, and I will. That sounds like a good subject, right? Connected up to the Bible. I know how your minds are going right now. You're wondering how I find a connection between the moon and the Bible. To start off with, it was full moon when Jesus was crucified. So the Passover took place at the full moon. Okay, let's leave that there. These things, Genesis 1:14, were given as signs, as signals to mankind. Genesis 1:14. Those signs in the stars above. So we'll talk about the stars too if you want to. And so now the next step now is to take a topic and say to them, preach. So now they've got nothing. They can have a Bible, but they've got to find a verse or something very fast. And so I came to church tonight and I forgot my computer. See, I knew you were going to laugh at me. Because everybody was agonizing on behalf of the poor pastors. You know, my mother said to me one day, I was testing them in the Bible school. She says, what are you doing with those children? You know you can't be too strict on them. Now, she's speaking from an age of 90, and she considers all the people at the Bible school just like children. She says, what are you doing with the poor children? You must not have difficult exams. So I said, yes, Mom, no, Mom, yes, Mom, yes, Mom. Mom will always be Mom, no matter if she's 110. So, all right, she's gone on to be with the Lord, but the fact of the matter is, tonight I ain't got no notes, but I got a Bible, and I got hopefully a memory, which takes me to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And we're going to go from there. I spoke this morning on the subject of the world ever growing worse. Then I brought in the concept of secularism. And in the meantime, Frankie came along. He gave me some definition. I left it all. Maud even was so gracious to tap me on the shoulder on the platform and said, do you want my iPad? I said, no, I don't want your iPad. You keep your iPad. I think I can do it. I can change subject too if you want me to. Anything you want me to talk about. So it's not a problem to me. Fact is that I spoke about secularism. I think the Latin for it is secularum, which means worldliness. Worldliness. It's a root of secularism. It's crept in everywhere. And secularism ousts God out of everything. Universities, society, politics, everything. You know, there used to be a time in South Africa where they opened the parliament in prayer. Now it's not like that. Schools, we don't know where it happens still. But secularism causes that. Also, it takes down one after the other of the pillars of morality in society. And this is really a very big problem because, like I said this morning, just to refresh you a little bit on that, I said that society, it's like a heart attack. It's like corruption within and fraying out on the edges. And I used an example just to, by way of reminder, as the Apostle Peter said, stir up your memory for those of you that were here, that it's like a heart attack. Somebody had a heart attack and described it and said that it was so vicious that when it happened, my entire body was in pain. My entire body. So having said that, I thought to myself, it's like the source, it's the pump of the blood and the life of the flesh, Leviticus 17, 10 through 14, is in the blood. So we know that and we understand that. So consequently, when this heart, which is a pump, stops beating, the pain of the heart attack, evidently according to that person who experienced the heart attack, said the pain was in my entire body. Everything hurt. And obviously got through it and got to medical care quick enough, and the description was absolutely great. But it's like that, corruption in the core of society, and then from there, it frays out at the end. If the heart of the apple is rotten, ultimately everything becomes rotten. And so that's what it is like in this world system. And may I again qualify to everybody both here and overseas and all the people, because we have a lot of people at the nighttime watching on the internet. It's actually our biggest internet audiences at night. And just to say to you that this applies to any country, wherever you're living. If you've got corruption in the heart, let's call it the parliament or the top ministers of any nation, if that corruption is in the heart, it affects the entire body immediately of people that live in that country. The whole population is struck. We saw that in Myanmar. We saw what happened there. We saw people that run for their lives and so-called ethnic cleansing that was taking place there. And here we had xenophobia, as our former President Thabo Mbeki said, called it xenophobia. And we had that. And so, slowly but surely, the pillars of morality are being chopped down, one after another. Now, this is important to repeat because with every such decision that is adopted and condoned by the society, the secular, the worldly world, the worldly culture, every one of those steps that are adopted has a, what you would call a domino or a reverberating effect. It spreads throughout the entire body of people in the nation. It becomes, let me say this way, culturalized. It becomes condoned and it becomes part of the norm. So, Isaiah 59, truth has fallen in the streets. Truth is turned back, has failed. And then it says, and he who departs from evil makes himself a target. So they come for the people that stand for truth, for holiness, righteousness, purity, the fear of the Lord. I don't hear too many sermons on that subject. You ever thought about that? You hear things like you're more than a conqueror. Yes, indeed, we're more than a conqueror. But how about holiness in order to be able to be more than a conqueror? How about integrity to be able to be more than a conqueror? How about the fear of the Lord to depart from evil that you may be more of a conqueror? More than a conqueror. How about victory of faith that works because if we walk with God and if we walk in the light, 1 John 1, as He is in the light, in fact, He is the light of the world. We have fellowship, koinonia, joint sharing. It's a two-way street. The communion or the koinonia is the Greek word for it, between us and God, runs that way and comes back. There's communication. Even in the night, the Lord visits in the dream, in the sleep. And the only, let's call it religion on earth, that gives you a complete Old and New Testament value system is in Christianity. It's in this book. We have a value system. That's why I say, and I keep on saying it, I'll say it for all my life, that the Bible is our Little Falls Christian Center constitution. It should be the constitution of the nation. It should be the reference point of the code of conduct for the entire nation, so that everybody lives according to God's prescription. But when you accept the things that are wrong, and so it's always on the increase. I did say this in closing on that one. I did say this, that it keeps on spreading like the wrong kind of leaven in the bread. It causes a corruption like the rotting of fruit that's thrown out on the dump yards. That's unedible. That has just gone off. It's full of fruit flies and worms and things. And you can't use it for any purpose whatsoever. And it's thrown away outside. Nobody wants it. It's got no value. And so ultimately, these core values of a society goes down the drain. It reaches a point where the entire nation, in the history of nations, and I use two nations, Greece and I use the Roman Empire, because they're outstanding examples of what happens if there's no moral code of conduct. And the moment you put the Bible out the door, that's when you have a situation where society just frays out at the edge. And children, the millennials, the young people of the new generation, millennials are people born from the year 2000 and on. They were born in this millennium. And the millennials grow up in a society where everything, normal, abnormal, whatever is suitable to the secular, worldly society, that's condoned. And who are you to say that that should not be condoned? Well, you cannot argue with God. You cannot argue with the Word of God. This is the Kingdom of God constitution here. And you can never argue with it, because Jesus said, John 17:17, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. He said in John 14, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when the truth spoke the truth, they didn't like that either. And they crucified the truth. But they couldn't keep the truth in a grave. Can you say amen? Now, having said that, there is a very interesting thing where you find this great apostasy of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 describing all about the coming of the Antichrist, the son of perdition. All right? There must come, verse number 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away, apostasia, comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, Antichrist, son of perdition, number 2, Antichrist. Number 3, the one who opposes, number 3, the one who exalts himself, number 4. Above all that is called God, number 5, all that is worshipped, show that he sits as God in the temple, 666. Showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things. I would have loved to sit in on that session. And now you know what he's restraining, that he may not be, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness, the mystery of lawlessness, it says here, is already 2,000 years ago at work. The mystery of iniquity, lawlessness. Lawlessness. So having said that, I went across to the book of Job because things pull out of hand. And I need to go back to Job chapter number 1 because it's that important. This I do want to repeat definitely. Here we see where Satan attacks Job's character. But now there was a day when the sons of God, which are angels in the Old Testament, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where do you come from?" "From where?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and fro forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Number one, there's no one like him on the earth. Number two, he's blameless. Number three, he's an upright man. Number four, he fears God. Number five, which is the number of grace, he shuns evil. Have you considered him? Now, it is very interesting if we look at this situation where Job is being discussed in the presence of God. We begin to understand that God does something when somebody is righteous. So verse 9. So Satan answered and said to the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Listen, have you not made a hedge around him?" Number one. "And around his household?" Number two. "And around all that he has?" Number three. "And on every side?" Number four. Which is the number of the good news of the gospel. "You have blessed the work of his hands," number five, that's grace, "and his possessions have increased in the land," contrary to what the devil did, number six. "You have caused his possessions in the process to just increase." Isaac sowed. Isaac was another one in the land that day. And it was a time of drought in the land. And the man began to prosper. He continued prospering until he was very prosperous. Nobody can stop your prospering. Nobody can stop you from advancing. You can cut it off with a hedge of protection. Nobody can stop that. And let me tell you now, because we do, because we're, let me say, let me call it here like it is from a secular perspective. As worldly people that live in a worldly world, that go by pillars that are broken down, and no frame of reference, and wild parties at Christmas time, drunkenness and all the stuff that goes with it, adultery that happens, particularly when it comes to Christmas. They have their Christmas parties, they get drunk, they do things. I've witnessed that. They always called me very conservative in those years, but I've witnessed what happens with Christmas parties. And I've seen men become completely unfaithful to their wives just because of the sweet wine they have. They lose their self-control. Bible says, "Do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess," which means the loss of self-control and restraint, "but rather be filled with the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody unto the Lord. That's a different story altogether. So we see Job has something that is a comprehensive cover. Now, I did read this from the morning service from the dictionary, but now I'll just quote it. where it says there in the Hebrew dictionary, it says that this hedge is a thorny, dense shrub bush. In other words, it really takes an effort. You yourself have to deal with the setup of those thorns. So you would have some type of protection and then make it almost impossible for somebody from the outside to put his hand in there. Or wild animals. Now in those days, you know, the days of King David, even David encountered bears and lions. And so did Samson in the Middle East. Soon as mankind arrived and increased, those wild animals left to other parts of the world. But they were part of the Middle East. And King David was not afraid of them whatsoever, and he took on Goliath in the process. But a hedge of protection was needed to protect like the sheep or the sheepfold at night. And so God hears how the devil is using this argument of a hedge of protection around Job. I must read this again because it's so important. A hedge of protection around him. Around him. So he's the first object of protection. Around his household. So that's like the circle's a little bit bigger now. Around all that he has. That would go outside of the house because they lived in tents in those days of Job. All that he has on every side, no matter what he possessed, it was protected. Now, dear friends, to me this is very important because Ezekiel 22 verse 30, Maud was just giving me an iPad, I said, no, I remember. God says, I sought for a man who would make up a wall, make a hedge of protection, and stand before me on behalf of all the land. Another place says, and the Lord marveled that there was no intercessor. But one man can stop the enemy from coming in like a flood. Did you hear what I said? One person of righteousness. There has to be in each household just that one person, that single person in every household that says, this is it. I am not going to allow the devil to get hold of my children. I am not going to allow the devil to break whatever belongs to me. I need a hedge of protection around my family, my household. Now, the household would include everybody that was there with Job. Like in the days of Abraham, even his servants, all of them, they had a hedge of protection obviously around them. Now, the moment God builds the hedge of protection, that thing is so comprehensive. That thing is so powerful that when a person has a hedge of protection that is there because God put it there, that person can live in complete peace. Now, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, as I've told you in previous times, many times. And it literally means the absence of any form of war, aggravation, disturbance, any form of irritation, any form of attack. We live in a secular world. And I want to say something to everybody right now. If God then has built a hedge of protection, we'll get to that now, around you. Why are you influenced by the people that you work with that are negative? Might as well say amen, or you're going to have to say oh my. It's one of the two. Why then are you looking at people as if they are your source? Why then do you even bother to look at people that are negative and sticky with all of their characters? They curse. They smoke. They do things. I've seen some of the people that I worked under when I was a young man that was full house into committing adultery, and they were covering for each other. One would go out and say, if my wife phones, tell my wife that I've just gone on a business lunch with X. Meantime, he was going off with a woman. They're going to a hotel. And there was adultery being committed. Why then should we even look, listen to my word now, at any impoverished soul and have his attitude impact me whatsoever? Even allow it. We are surrounded by impoverished souls. Souls that if they do not repent, they form part of the damned. He who does not believe shall be damned, said Jesus. Why then should I allow any impoverished soul to determine my state of happiness, joy, whatever? Why? It's got nothing to do with it. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. So for that same person that himself is worse than a porcupine, for that same purpose, I've got very good medicine. Everybody look at me right now. I'm coming to that person fictitiously. I'm walking into that person's presence. Morning, how are you? Great day today. Jesus loves you, you know. Oh, I can't say that, can't you? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's just like it is. He who's ashamed of me in that day, of him shall my Father, who's ashamed to confess me before men, I shall not confess him to my Father, which is in heaven in the day of judgment. I shall be ashamed of such a person. So you walk in there, you smile. Because let me tell you something now. Your future is not in the hands of any impoverished soul. Never been, never shall be. Your future is with God. And it all depends on your koinonia. And the koinonia is your fellowship with God. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, he's the light of the world, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, in the Greek construct of that, it's very interesting because it says, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, that is joint sharing. God shares with us, we give to God, worship, praise, petitions. He shares back revelation, knowledge, visions, dreams, whatever way he wishes to communicate, even out of our circumstances. Many ways God can communicate with you. We have fellowship, koinonia, that's what it means, with one another. And then it says, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now that there in the Greek construct is in continuous. It's aorist tense. It means it never stops. It's an automatic cleansing that takes place when a person walks in the light as he is in the light. He's the light of the world. So I walk into a business community and God alone knows what point of reference. They don't have the spirit of truth to start off with. They haven't got the mind of Christ if they're not saved to start off with. They are pitiful creatures that God created and paid with his son's blood on the cross for them. How in the world could I ever have anybody like that steal my joy? Never. In fact, they don't even have the mind of Christ. So we can help them right from time to time. They don't have the mind of Christ. But we have the mind of Christ. Haven't we got the mind of Christ? Isn't that so? And that's just an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. You know, sometimes we get into situations, difficult situations. You're a specialist, you know what I'm talking about. very difficult situations that you need an answer. And suddenly it's like click and you know what to do. It just happens. Happens to us as we go through life. It's like the light comes on. Cling, the light is on and I know what to do. At the right moment, God gives the right revelation and we know what to do. So somebody walks right past me and doesn't greet me. Somebody walks past me and snubs me. I stop at the robot, traffic light, if you will, for the people overseas. They talk about traffic lights. We talk about robots. Stop at the robot. This is fictitious because it didn't happen to me yet. But there's a guy and he's maybe somebody that you know. And you say, how's it? And he turns away and he doesn't greet you. Or he makes as if he hasn't seen you. But he's never been saved. He's never been saved. He's never been saved. Hasn't got the mind of Christ. Doesn't understand the love of God. Has no revelation. His eyes of his understanding has never been opened. And you have the Holy Spirit upon you. How many of you got the Holy Spirit upon you? Let me see your hands right now. You got the mind of Christ. So what do? You smile. You say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Amen. Amen. Knowing this, that in my youthful days, I used to think and I had a feeling. I just got the feeling. It's like a strange thing, but in the days of youth, get a feeling. Like the situation in which you are now is going to like go forever. It feels like it's never going to be over. Well, I got news for you. It didn't take long and it was over in my case. God took me through a turn of events staggering. You know when the turn of events came? When he took this book and made it alive to me. And he opened up the eyes of my understanding. And suddenly I read the Bible. Suddenly everything came together. Now, come back again to the final point. Building a hedge of protection. What I notice in the book of Job, what I notice with Moses on the mountain, what I notice with Ezekiel, I sought for a man who would build a wall, make a hedge of protection before me on behalf of all the land, lest I come and destroy it. Then later on God would say, and he marveled that there was no intercessor. Moses stood between God and a nation in severity of trouble. He was a righteous man to the bone. Every bit of scrap of life in him came from God. He knew that. And he had a relationship with God. He had a relationship with God. And God says, get out of the way. I can destroy them. I give you a big name. I'll make a big name out of you. Just stand aside. Let me get hold of these rebellious and stiff-necked people. Moses wouldn't. And he fell on his face for a second time and went through prayer and fasting. No food, no water, no nothing in the presence of the life, God himself. You don't die when you're in fellowship with God. You see, you talk about we have a weekend and we fast. That means when you fast, you let go of food. And somebody goes, somebody else ducks very low. I'm rather not going to. Amen. But fasting with prayer will move mountains that cannot be moved by prayer alone. When you add to your prayers fasting, a day or two with a bottle of water, you will see a marked difference in the way your prayers are being answered. A lot of people come for counseling. I know of one place in America, they used to say to the people, see that room over there? Go in there. There you'll find some water in there and there's some toilet facilities. Shut the door. Take water. Don't come out until you've got the answers that you're looking for. God will give you the breakthrough. God will give you the answer. Here's the point. The bottom line is this. This seems to be, if I look at Job, if I look at Moses, that wouldn't budge and he stood in the gap. And God would not move past the righteous man Moses and destroy a nation. That if we stand in the gap on behalf of the land, God has to give attention to the prayers of the righteous. Because God himself is righteous. And we have been made wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption through Christ to God the Father. So here we stand before the Father on behalf of the land. And we say, Lord, we need you because this thing is altogether spiritual. You're not going to go out of your yard and go and see where you can find yourself some thorn trees. You're not going to look for thorn bushes either. But this thing is spiritual. This thing is altogether spiritual. Guess who put the hedge around Job? So therefore, I'm praying for my family. I'm praying for my own life, my wife, my marriage, my household, all I have, everything on all sides in every way. And I'm praying that God then would, on top of that, bless the work of my hands and I will prosper. And so I say, Lord, I need you to build a hedge of protection, let's for argument's sake say, around my son. Will you do that for me, Lord? You build a hedge of protection around your daughter. Anybody that is one of your children. I need the hedge of protection. I need it, Lord. Edith Waits. I need a hedge of protection. Very simple. Ann Thwaites, hedge of protection for your son. Very simple. Grandson, I take it. Very simple. What you need to do is get into right standing with God, then pray that thing. Somebody gets sick, you build a hedge of protection around that person. You build a hedge of protection. You have children, you build a hedge of protection. Marley Kelly, you got a family, you build a hedge of protection, right? You name them one by one. Say, Lord, I need a hedge of protection around me, my marriage, my household, all I have on every side, in every way, immediately. I can't do it, but you can. And you set yourself into righteousness with God. And you look at your relationship because your relationship is equal to the strength of your prayer life. Your relationship with God. And I say, Lord God Almighty, I need you to protect. When we go on a flight, let's say you go to New York. Let's say we fly overseas. You cross the ocean. Let's say you go anywhere. You go on a long journey. People say, let's pray for travel mercies. Okay. Lord, I need a hedge of protection around this car. Because here's the point. We share the roads with people that are sometimes now using Dacha. I think Caroline sent me a thing there of a guy. I must do that. Must I do it? And they roll down. Somebody stops him. And it must be a policeman because I didn't properly look at it, but it was more or less like this. And here's this guy. He is lacquer. And the policeman knocks on the window. And he opens the window. And a cloud comes out the window of smoke. And he says to the cop, hi. I don't think I've told the story right, but don't worry, you've got it. He says, hi. Somebody says, what does that mean? Well, if you don't know what it is to be high, then you'll never know what it is to be low or to be normal. Amen. Deans, do you know what's high?
I know what's high.
High. I put you in remembrance, dear brothers and sisters, that you share the roads with such and rather strange creatures that are rather villainous in their exploits on the roads by their mannerisms of driving, ignoring every law of the country, coming from an unexpected direction. And if you do not drive defensively, thou shalt find thyself in possible trouble. And then they still drink, and you avoid the roads on Friday nights. And one of the times of the year when you really avoid the roads is on New Year's Eve. Because some think that it takes a cracker and a little bit of whatever to get high and then head home and head straight into someone else and kill a family. It's a sad thing, but it's true. But it's a worldwide thing. It's not just in South Africa. I see the same thing is now in America. So it's a Western world thing. Another thing that is normalized in the society, another one of the pillars going down. You see? So tonight I say, I have a definite prayer. I'll leave it there, but I have a definite prayer, and that is that, Lord, I need a hedge of protection around this church. I need a hedge of protection around every family in this church. A lot of people depend on that. A lot of people do depend on that. I have people, those French people from Union and, well, the French people just keep on sending me more and more pictures of how they're having revival there, and they treasure the fact that I pray for them. They're good people. They are very good people. I absolutely have just fallen in love with that whole way they are conducting their church affairs. They are really serious with God. They're multiplying churches and Bible schools. They are fascinating. But you know what? They treasure a hedge of protection. People in America that's connected to us treasure a hedge of protection. As we grow in influence, so it brings more and more responsibility on me. And the best I can do is to say, Lord, protect this person. And all that he has, everything he has on all sides in every way. Prosper the work of his hands. Give him the mind of Christ. Let him prosper in the times of drought. Can you say amen? And ask God to do it, and you do a faith prayer, and you pray that thing down. Can you say amen? Amen. You do a good faith prayer. All right. Let's give the Lord a praise offering, and let's leave it there. I bless these people, Lord. I bless these people. I bless these people. Till we join up to stand in the gap and build a hedge with your help of protection around our government, our economy, our nation, border to border, and all the connected nations, same thing. That wherever they are, in whatever part of the world, we will all build a hedge of protection around us. In Jesus' name, I, Father, pray the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Almighty Father, His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and His Holy Spirit, I pray and I bless you with the blessing of Abraham, every spiritual blessing of the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And I send you out in the peace of the Almighty God. In Jesus Christ's name, all God's people said.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.